from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
You're listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
Sick Ara, right? This week you're sick.
Well,
Ara?
Sick is such a nasty word.
You've been sick a lot.
I hang around with a lot of diseased people. What can I say?
Apparently.
It's a tough job.
That's a really good way to put it, by the way.
Yeah.
Every week, I think. Diseased Ara.
You know what I just noticed, actually?
What?
You see these lights above us? You know, there's two reels of lights.
Yes, which, you know, half of them are on.
Yes, I think
half of them
that
are dead.
I think that the number of lights that are actually working in this studio is a direct indication of the state of the economy.
Because
I could have sworn last summer they were all on.
If only you saw this radio station before the upgrade.
There was an upgrade.
When we first started here, let me first point out that when we started this show, like the first month we were on, there was also a white supremacist on immediately before us.
Wow.
And no marble whatsoever, I presume.
Yeah. No marble desk.
Dude, this marble desk
is
awesome.
This is granite, not marble.
Regardless.
So we still have a marble desk. No soundproofed walls. Crappy paint. Like it was egregious.
And now that the white supremacist is gone, everything's much better.
I hear he's dead, actually. So,
well, then, right.
Celebrate.
The great thing about this granite table is that it's cut smooth on one side, and it's just, like, broken off on the other side, seemingly. it broke in half. Put it on anyways.
Yeah, no, that's good. One day we'll take a picture. In fact, we were talking right before the show started that we need to take a picture together because we are now the official Phoenix New Times Best of Phoenix 2008 video game gurus.
Yes, we've announced it before, but we will relentlessly re-announce it every time we're reminded of
the fact. Now it's for cereal because we have a plaque.
Exactly. So we could take a picture with the three of us and the plaque.
And the plaque. And then, like,
maybe
and then, like, one of us in the plaque, and then, like, two of us in the plaque, and then, like,
the
my car in the plaque.
Had Fox 10 come in to do a feature on us?
Yeah.
Norm wants Fox to come in. Yeah, that would be good.
That's all right.
They have a feature every Friday, and I call it the best, you know, from the New Times there. They show the best of, best of Phoenix. So,
really?
Qualify for that.
We got to call dibs.
All right, if you work for Fox 10, 866-536.
1100.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Because we're that awesome.
Well, last week, unfortunately, we didn't have a show. Obviously, people know that at this point. We posted on the website, no show last week and no show the week of Christmas, which is good because we weren't going to be here on Christmas anyway. So kudos to us for not having to be here. Of course, we will have a show back again on the 30th. I don't think Ara will be here, but Rich, you're going to be here?
Yeah, dude.
All right, good. Cool. Then we'll have a show on all the other days. I hope you all will join us for that. We've got lots of things to talk about. Rich brought to my attention a Gamma Sutra article about used games. It discusses a topic that we've covered before, but I think perhaps we could talk about it with more enlightenment now that Gamma Sutra has written intelligently about it.
It's got some good stuff.
Ara, of course, has a few things to cover as well. Before we get moving, I want to mention what I realized recently was missing from Little Big Planet. This is where I talk about how Little Big Planet is not good. Are you ready for this?
You mean besides what I mentioned?
I don't know what you mentioned because I stopped paying attention if you said anything bad about
what's
the game.
What's not good about it?
All right, so let me ask you in general. If there were something in this world that was ranked from best to worst, worst to best, biggest to smallest, whatever, and you were to have access to that thing which is ranked, wouldn't you want to have access to a ranking, to getting to the most extreme of that rank? Like, I want to see the worst B movies in history, right?
Yes.
Because I want to watch movies. I want to play the best Little Big Planet level there is.
Normally,
the one that
I would
the most people have hearted or said they loved, or the one that has the most stars. On average, I just want to see the highest rated.
And you can't?
I don't think that's too much to ask for.
When they first showed off the concept of what Little Big Planet would be like in the social atmosphere, how you access the levels, they said it would be YouTube-like, there'd be rankings, and they had a, just a mock-up graphic of what it would be like, and they had rankings, numbered rankings. This was years ago. There's no way I'd ever be able to pull up this archived footage or screenshot from some talk that Media Molecule gave a long time ago. But they definitely did, right? They showed, here's the ranking. And that's the number one feature that I would want when accessing these levels that other people build online. It is absolutely not available.
Why?
You can search, so you can how search can by you tag. Find?
Why?
You can search by tag. I could say, I want to search for games with the tag musical assigned to them.
Here's what doesn't make sense is, when you play a level, you can heart it. Like, you can say, this is a good level.
Yeah, and there's even a measurement of how many people have hearted it.
They're already ranking it. They're already keeping track of that.
They're
Why
just
wouldn't
not giving
they
you
tell
access
you?
To it. You can't say, I want the one that is most highly hearted.
So they shouldn't have the system in place.
Clearly, they know it should be there.
Yeah. Is there a plan for an update?
That's vexing to me.
Dude, I don't know. I'm not Media Molecule.
Like, maybe they're just like, Sony's like, okay, we've made this game for 12 years. Let's just release it. And we'll see what happens, even though there's no ranking system.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't have this explanation. Apparently, I can just tell you that it's not there right now. So when I want to play a good level, I just have to go hunting around. Go, oh, no, this is a 2-star. Oh, this is a 4-star. Oh, but this is a 4-star because it's kind of neat what it did, but 3 other levels did that, so it's not neat anymore.
So you can't even see really any kind of superlatively rated.
No, and there's no explanation to how these show up. So, like, you go into the...
Wow, it kind of feels like browsing for stuff on Xbox.
It tells you this level has this rank, but you can't say, I want
to see
five
only 5 stars.
Yeah, it doesn't give you that option.
No.
That is so dumb.
Now, listen, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed it.
Like, I don't think you
did. If I missed it, then they didn't do a good job of demonstrating it.
Yeah.
Feel free to jump in the chat room, anybody, if you're listening to the show live.
Yeah,
or email me.
Speaking of missing
wrong.
Things, actually, I do have to issue a retraction from the previous show that we did. In fact, you can change your gamer picture on Xbox Live to revert it back to whatever.
That.
But it's buried behind something.
Yeah.
And also, when you change it back, your own picture doesn't change back when you look at it.
You know what's weird is on our website, it shows our little gamer picks, right?
Yeah, like
avatar. I changed it to that.
It shows my avatar, but when I played Catan this weekend, and it showed my Chatterbox pick.
Yeah. Well, I just know it shows the Chatterbox pick for me because I did not replace it with the avatar.
I don't know.
But they didn't have to bury it under 3 million menus.
Yes, they did.
I have a feeling it's a rarely used feature, so I wouldn't whine too much.
Well, you got to know that you can do it. And it wasn't there in the obvious place.
Well,
so I'm going to complain.
I have
about
plenty
it.
Of other complaints about navigating the Xbox menu. So
yeah, so
that
the
is
one
the
thing,
least of my concerns.
Look, the only thing I'm going to say about that, because I don't want to spend all night about this, is you still can't just find the newest stuff. You just can't.
Well,
no. What they call new is in their currently new category, which if you haven't been on there on a regular basis, you will miss whole swaths of what they had previously considered new.
You can't, obviously. You can't order by date.
Yeah. If you can't order by date, which is silly.
If you don't log in for 3 months,
then it's your fault. Then what? You're a second-class citizen?
Yes.
No.
You know what?
Look at this guy.
While we're on the topic and we've left the topic of Little Big Planet, I'm really curious why nobody has yet developed a browsing system for these... You know, these commercial games, right, where you go into Xbox Live.
Right.
One of the difficulties with any online merchant, whether it's, you know, a website or Xbox Live, it's the fact that there's so many products online, and there's a seemingly limitless number, right, because they could keep
developing. It's browsing and searching data. That's the number one interface issue.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that no one has created an interface that tries to simulate real life, where I walk into a game store and I have shelves with a bunch of boxes on them. Like, I'm actually very surprised no one made a virtual store that I can literally walk into like a first-person shooter and look at the covers and tap the cover to see the back cover. Like that.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I could zoom in as much as I want.
I wouldn't even go there. Like, I would really favor some kind of almost Matrix-style type of interface where it has some kind of 3D zooming and flying aspect to it, but you're not necessarily limited to just being like things being on shelves in the store. You know, I mean, they have done these, like, experimental browsing interfaces that have integrated those types of elements. And the ones that work are actually really, really awesome. I forget the name of the one I'm thinking of right now. But it's really cool. You can just, you know, fly through these huge boards of, like, all these pictures or videos or items and stuff like that. And it's really fast. It's really easy to find something.
Well, I would like to...
Especially if you look visual.
It's weird because I'm not normally a proponent of, you know, real-world simulation when you can have a better
right
method.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why limit yourself to real world?
I, I would actually like it just because it's better than what exists now. Seeing five things on the screen, no. Like, I could just... with the high-resolution monitors we have now, too, yeah. like, you could fit tons of images on a screen, and yeah. if I want to zoom in on one, just walk towards it. Or they could just have a system like the PlayStation Network. I've been using that a lot lately because I got the PS3. It has grid-style system, but stuff isn't even alphabetical. if you order it just by title so that it's not, like, a graphic, there's two different methods of browsing, right? And one of them is supposedly in order, right? But it's not. If you scroll through it, you'll go H, I, J, and suddenly there'll be M's and then back to B's. So I can't understand what's going on. And you should have more opportunity to just say, what's the newest stuff? What has been released in October? Show me October stuff or November stuff, whatever.
Sure.
So,
the funny thing is it's the same issue with all these browsing things that we wanted to do. And everyone has different solutions, none of which are adequate.
The irony is that the people working on it all have experience developing interfaces for video games, and they fail at a simple shopping interface. Anyway, we'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox. Rich has been deftly attacked with cold salami by yours truly for that disparaging remark last time.
I was completely amazed. I didn't notice this the first section that the light in the middle of the table lights up again when it's on air.
Yeah, well...
it hadn't worked for 3 weeks.
What? Is somebody here?
We just got a doorbell.
Is it a doorbell?
I think that was my phone. I don't know what it is. Anyway, that's Norm.
Did they install a new door on the wall?
That's Norm ringing the bell. All right. Well, before we begin our segment, I want to remind everyone about our sponsor, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. You can check out their website, uat.edu. If you go there, they'll teach you how to make games, how to get in the game industry, all that sort of stuff. If you're listening live, you'll also hear some commercials for them. So we want to talk about this Gamma Sutra article. I'm a little bit mesmerized by this Trine video that Rich had me start watching.
You're watching it?
I'm watching it right now.
What do you think?
I just saw the thing with the gear and the board that you talked about.
I want to play it.
This looks kind of cool. Too bad it's only on the PlayStation Network.
And PC.
Well, that doesn't count.
It does count because I will get it on PC.
No, that's lame.
Because it's going to be on Steam. How does that not count?
This is not at all what I was expecting when you told me about it today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. Right on.
Could they make it darker? Any.
Who knows?
Yes.
This high-definition YouTube stuff, though, that happened this week.
Yeah, they switched to the widescreen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and anything can be HD now.
Well, high quality was there for a while, but not widescreen. It was like high quality, but like fake high quality. Yeah.
All right.
But now it's like real high quality.
Perhaps we're getting off topic. Sorry. Anyway.
The game looks cool is what it comes down to.
Something we've talked about in the past is the used game market and how this pisses off publishers.
Yep. And how it pisses off Ara.
Why does it piss you off?
I don't know. I'm sure I'll find something to get pissed off at.
Well,
so
that's the truth. So the article goes like this. The headline says, as recession deepens, used games get more painful. And, you know, it's really the usual thing where publishers are whining that by buying a game used, you're taking food out of their children's mouths.
Which I think is hilarious.
They're just complaining that they're not getting more profits, which is legitimate from their end.
Well, can we consider the argument from, you know, GameStop's side, the people who benefit from the used games?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what their argument is without having read the article?
Well,
it's a
tangible product, right? So they have every right to resell a tangible product if somebody wants to sell it to them for a price, and if they can sell it to somebody else for a higher price. It's called free market.
Not higher price. It doesn't matter what price. Just the
or
fact that
whatever, yeah. Right?
Their point is like...
No, but if they can sell it for a higher price, that's perfectly legitimate form of business.
Yeah.
They're not copying software.
They also make the argument that they're not necessarily taking money away from these developers, or if they are, it's a small amount, because when people trade in the games to then be purchased by other people, those people trading stuff in are then buying another new game. And he said that according to this article... 80% of trade-in credit is put towards new product.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good point, I think. I didn't think of that at the moment, but yeah, that's... I don't know how big the percentage is, but there's got to be some fraction, right? Because I don't think that most people have unlimited amounts of money to spend on games. No, they have a certain budget, whatever that is, right? Whether it's literally planned out or not, right? You will, you will tend to spend a certain amount of money on video games a year, right? Yeah. And
maybe perhaps a little bit more than the usual guy, because I can write it off.
It's like, I need this
game or I
don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm not.
It's like, right now,
no,
can
of course,
I buy it?
Rich, of course, you didn't understand at all. I'm not saying that there's an intentional budget. I'm saying that there's a limited amount that you as a person are willing to spend on games within a certain time frame. Yes or no?
If I have the money to spend on a video game, I'll buy it.
Oh, so you're saying you don't budget.
So it's limited.
I'm terrible with managing my money.
But that's what I'm saying, though. That there's intrinsically a budget one way or the other, whether you do it deliberately or not.
Well, yeah,
because,
obviously.
Because your ability to buy games is limited by how much money you have.
Obviously.
Right? And you're not going to spend all your money on games because you need to presumably do things like shower and eat and live in
that is arguable.
And so, right? So you have, whether you're aware of it or not, you have a limited ceiling of money that you're going to spend on games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, regardless of where the money is going, yeah, if you buy, if you didn't, let's say if you couldn't buy used games, right, then you would probably end up buying less games overall because you would spend roughly the same quantity of money.
Yeah, and that's part of the argument, and it's similar to the argument of piracy, like, oh, they weren't going to buy it anyways, but they bought it used because it was cheaper.
Well, that's what got me thinking.
Part of the argument as well is like they're saying used games aren't worth as much with our new games aren't worth as much without used games. Like they're using the analogy of the car, saying if you bought a game and you knew it was never going to be worth anything because you could never sell it to anybody, you're less. A lot of people wouldn't buy it.
Wait, who says that?
GameStop is saying
this. No, that's silly, though. That's
or
no,
maybe
that's
it's
like
Pachter
a,
that
some,
made the...
Some
I think
analyst.
It's Pachter.
Pachter, by the way, said something stupid in this article. I can't recall exactly what
it
is.
That sounds completely silly to me because that's such a theoretical...
No, that's not silly at all.
So many people buy games and trade them into GameStop all the time. If these people wouldn't buy the... Like they say, 80% of trade-ins go towards new games. So these people buy the new game, trade it in, buy another new game. If they could not trade those games in, they wouldn't be buying as many new games.
Okay, so you're saying that they deliberately, or they buy knowing full well that in 2 weeks...
They're going to trade it in.
They're going to trade it in.
Yeah, and that's definitely true.
Yeah. I see that
the exact The exact analogy that was made here is, let's use the car industry, right? Because that's the most widely known used market, at least that I can consider.
Sure.
People buy cars fairly often, at least in America. And they would not be doing that if they weren't able to trade in their old car. If you had to just send it to a junkyard and pay full price for a new car, you wouldn't be trading in your Civic every 5 years and upgrading to the new one.
But that's a silly proposition anyway, because there's no way that's going to happen.
Well, what do you mean?
There's no way that you would ever be in a situation where you had a product like that and you had no choice but to junk it. You know, that you couldn't find somebody to sell
That's the
it
theoretical
to.
Argument
well,
here.
That's what they're saying.
That's
like
what I'm saying
is
too theoretical
to
about it.
Well, no.
It's like there's markets. There's millions of people. You might not get a price you like, but someone will want to buy it.
But that's what they're saying. If you could not sell a car to another person once you purchase it.
Okay, anyway, I'm getting off track. Let's skip that.
Here's the thing, though. Like, a car is necessarily a physical product, you know, that exists in three-dimensional space, right? The video game industry, on the other hand, can very well stop someone from being able to resell a game by going to solely digital distribution.
Well, they could if they do that, but not with the current disc format.
No, they could also do
which
it
is
with
why
that
publishers
by requiring
want
online connection and registration per disc.
Do you think that they're going to try to do that with discs?
No,
they already are.
But the point is...
But they would love to do that as much as they can in the future, I bet.
Certainly. And Microsoft does it. A lot of high-end software requires online registration. So if you live in the boonies and you don't have internet access, the only accommodation they make is the fact that, you know, 1% of the people, if you really need to, can make a phone call and get the registration key through a phone call. But certainly you couldn't buy it and go somewhere where you didn't have either phone access or internet access.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work.
Well, then you probably won't be playing video games.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you. Like, that's such a small percentage, not a big deal. Right. But my argument is that in 10 years, when I want to pull out my system for, you know, a child or something, or in 30 years when my Xbox 360 still hasn't red ringed and I want to show it to my grandkids or something, right? I would like to have that option. Maybe that's, you know, it doesn't matter because by then every 360 game will fit on a little micro SD card and I can just pop it in an emulator, right?
They already can fit on micro SD cards. I'm just putting that out there.
All right. Thanks. I said every game. I meant all games on one.
Every single.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because every Nintendo game, 8-bit, could easily fit on a micro SD card 10
Touché.
Times over. All right. So anyway, that's the argument they make, that the used market enables the new market. And the quote from, I believe this is the guy from GameStop. Who is this? Interview with
who's the
Bob,
guy?
Bob McKenzie.
Is he like just some guy who works there? Or
Senior
like...
VP of merchandise.
All right, that's cool.
Senior, he's like
Senior
right.
VP.
Over 80% of the trade credits go back toward new purchases. Oh, wait, this is Bartel. Tony Bartel, the executive VP of merchandise and marketing, Tony Bartel. All right, over 80% of the trade credits go back toward new purchases. I really think that when you look at the fact that 9% of the total currency spent on new games last year was generated out of one company's trade program, meaning 9% of all video game sales were generated from just used credits at GameStop.
Yeah.
That in itself, the fact that GameStop has that much percentage is bothersome yeah. from just used credits, although I think they have like a 62% market or something from some other quote in here. So he says, I guess you'd have to ask yourself, okay, if that went away, how much would the industry suffer? So clearly, like,
right.
just because used exist doesn't mean that that money's not going towards new games.
No, I think it's obvious that the publishers are just complaining because they can, and it's exactly the same thing as with the piracy argument, which is, you know, when they come up with, oh, piracy costs us billions of dollars, they assume that every game that was pirated would have been otherwise bought, which is absolutely silly.
But that topic...
There's other expenses, too, though, with piracy that are talked about in this article as well, which we can talk about later.
Yeah, and I really want to touch on that. Like, am I doing the industry a solid by buying a used game, or is pirating it just as bad? Right? Like... why should I even bother? Just pirate everything.
You're doing GameStop a solid.
Yeah, apparently, which is worse. I don't know. We'll be back. Talk more about it.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
Rich and I, who have read this article.
Okay.
This article makes a lot of sense, right?
I have not read the article.
You have not, and that's good, because...
because I like just winging it.
Well, so we said to you during the break that there are some other points brought up in this article, which like I totally wouldn't have considered, and that's why these people write for a big, important
website. That's why Gama Sutra is awesome.
Right, and I don't. I have other interesting ideas, but perhaps not the investigative... ideas of these folks. Certainly, I didn't consider these things. One is a claim that the quality of games is hurt through the used game market. And more interestingly, that the genre of game produced may be altered due to the used game market.
And what was my reaction?
Go ahead. Why don't you react? And then I'll tell you why they think that.
I'd much rather see you do an imitation of me.
I'm the one that reacted.
Something like, what?
Yeah,
something along those lines.
Yeah, without the shrill.
Yeah, it's hard for me to avoid. So there are these claims. The used game market may also be negatively affected, affecting the quality of games. 5 years ago, a great game would have sold for a longer period of time than for a bad game, which was essentially our incentive to make great games.
Yep.
Because
but no
what?
Longer.
Because there are more games that are used out there? Is that what they're saying?
They're saying the life cycle of the sales decreased.
Let him finish.
No, I know exactly what he's saying right now because I read the article, unlike you.
Publishers and developers just see revenue the initial few weeks regardless of the game's quality, and then gamers start buying used copies, which generates money that goes into GameStop's pocket, nobody else's. Except, of course, the fact that the people who traded the games in then go buy more new games.
And let us say here that... okay, maybe GameStop is the number one seller of used games. I don't know if they are, but anybody is free to sell a game used one way or the other, right? When I'm lazy,
I want some cashola.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, because you said that, oh, well, GameStop gets it. Right, and they're not the only ones profiting off of it.
They're vast majority of used games.
They're used as the example here, as
right?
The
but that's not the only one. You know, I can sell a game myself on whatever.
Yeah, that's not at all the point
eBay.
Of making though.
Yeah, I think the biggest competitor for used game sales to GameStop is eBay.
Okay, I'm just talking, dude. I'm
that's
not like
saying.
Trying
you,
to make
you can
a
replace
point
the name GameStop here with
either
the
way.
Person who sold the game.
All right, that's cool.
Right, it's not important. But here's the interesting part. This is someone named Braben, and I have no recollection of who he is, but clearly he is representing the publisher side. Braben also believes that the growing resale market will affect the genre of games developed, because single-player and action games can be completed quickly by the gamer and then resold. He expects that fewer and fewer developers will choose to create those sorts of games. And indeed, some research firm confirms that action games and shooters drive the resale market at 60%, while only 20% are MMOs, which take considerably longer to play. The main reason that gamers hold onto a title is replayability, which is totally understandable, which is why the top two keepers, OTX reports, are Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock, and Rock Band, which explains why I can't find a cheap copy of Guitar Hero 3.
So, okay, yeah. I don't know, I heard about 5 or 6 points there simultaneously,
okay.
So I forgot about them.
So they don't want to produce a game which will end up being sold used quickly. So a game which has a lot of multiplayer component to it, people need to hold on to the disc to continue playing multiplayer, or a game like Guitar Hero where it's not so much something you play for 2 weeks, finish, and send back. You play with your friends and you keep it forever. Those games are more valuable to the publishers because they're more likely to continue selling new copies.
That's interesting because, at least in my personal experience in game development, I haven't heard that come up as any reason for us to do anything.
Sales always drives what the publisher is going to make.
Straight up sales, yes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, though. It's like,
they don't say, oh,
it's
people,
part of it.
People need to keep their, I know, but I'm saying I've never heard that precise argument as the framing for a reason why, you know, in my professional career.
Yeah, but you know what? Things are changing.
That we should do something or not do something.
But I mean,
it makes sense that you may.
I mean, when you make a game like World
maybe,
of Warcraft...
Maybe, I'm just saying I haven't heard of it.
Their idea behind World of Warcraft is to make a game that people will continue to play every month and pay for it every month. And every publisher has tried to copy it.
Well, duh, that's because they're collecting money on a monthly basis.
It's because these people, they keep playing the game, and they have to keep paying for it. It's not something that they can buy and play it
Why are you explaining this?
I'm saying...
Along the same lines, did
obviously
you hear
you
that Atari bought Cryptic Studios?
I heard something like that. Yeah.
I'm just explaining it's a valid point from the publisher standpoint that it does drive what type of games to make.
Okay, you're just...
I think one example from last year...
Confusing.
Call of Duty 4 would be one game that sold more copies after the third week than the first three copies. Because it was a game
first
that people played
weeks,
online. Yeah, what did I say? Copies. First 3 weeks. Because it's a game that people bought and then it caught on and people played it online. So more people bought it and continued to play it online and they didn't trade it back in.
Yeah, okay.
Where a game like BioShock was a phenomenal game, but people played it and then traded in. And after 2 weeks, the sales just plummeted. It just dropped off.
Do you know that because you saw some stat somewhere or are you just making that up?
I know that because I've looked at sales for different games.
All right, well, there you go. Proof's in the pudding. Rich said so it must be.
I can bring up some numbers for 2 weeks from
now. I would rather take some calls now.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But yeah, no, get me some numbers, man. I would like to see that.
And I'll
go get a subscription to NPD.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
And give it to
him.
Scott, otherwise known as Fopo Gigio, is on the line, so I'd like to hear what he has to say. Hopefully, it's along these lines about the whole used game thing. And I believe, if you'll recall with me, that he's a GameStop employee, but hopefully no one from GameStop corporate listened to this and thinks that he's trying to represent them. Scott, there you are. Hello. You are on the air, sir.
Actually, Walmart, but anyway.
Walmart?
Yeah.
They don't sell used games. Seriously,
they don't.
Didn't you work at GameStop once?
No.
All of our Canadian listeners work at GameStop.
Minus one.
All right. That's cool. So what's up?
Yeah, well, actually, it's along these lines. About the used game thing, there's a lot of people, well, a lot of people in industry, like Mike Capps from Epic Games, who are saying that they actually have rules in the development house saying you're not allowed to buy used games, apparently, if you work at Epic.
Really?
Yeah. And they're also saying they want...
That's silly!
They're also saying that one plan was to have, for first-hand license, have the, or first-hand users, have the end boss be downloadable content for free, but for second-hand users, pay $20 for the end boss.
Mm-hmm.
Things
who
like
said,
that.
Who said this?
Make sure that the first... Yeah, it was complete total crap. The thing is, though, they're confusing themselves. They're assuming that video games are a consumable market, like Soda Pop or Chips or something, where once you use it,
prostitutes,
you're not going to want it back. Whereas video games are actually probably closer related to things more like cars or houses or something like that. Once you use it, it's not something you're going to flush down a toilet. It is something that is still worthwhile to resell. What they're trying to do is, because it's digital, this is one of the reasons why I think DRM is still prominent, even though it's not actually stopping pirates. They're trying to impose restrictions on the medium itself, because you can put artificial restrictions on it to make sure that they can turn it into a consumable market, even though the medium is not designed to be.
I like your point, and that's rare.
That's very smart. I'm impressed.
Perhaps they're whining like babies and making the argument simply because they do have theoretical, technical options to get around this.
Like,
we could go all digital, which means we could control this and take all of the money, like in every situation. So we have a right to argue about this, whereas the car manufacturers, there's nothing they could ever do to stop it.
Right.
It's
you can't download virtual cars.
It would be kind of stupid, right?
Yeah. So maybe simply because there is a technical solution to their problem, they feel it's necessary for them to argue against.
Which is very competitive, but they can't say that.
Yeah, it's very...
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I fully believe that the game industry, and specifically publishers, will and are doing absolutely everything that they can to exercise maximal amount of control over their product, regardless of anything, as long as they believe they can get away with it.
Which is what the telecom companies are trying to do right now, even though the FCC kind of said, screw you.
Here's the thing, though. Like,
which is why the industry is a shill game, like I told you 2 weeks ago.
Great. Thanks for the call, Scott. I appreciate it. We have about one more minute, so I'm going to make another point. So a game... You can't, like, I think ultimately the whole idea, like back in the day when you would copy a game and just put it on your hard drive, right? The theory is, at least according to the user agreement, you can't put it on two computers and play those at the same time, right? Because then you're essentially having two copies of the game.
Right.
And with a disc, like 360 or whatever, where you need to have the disc, it's not possible to do that without, you know, going through weird hacking measures and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that. So if I transfer ownership of the disc to someone else, that's fine, because it's still only one purchase that's ever existed. And they're just complaining that, oh, well, one person stopped wanting to have this product because he used up for himself. You know, it's not physically possible for two people to use a car at the same time, you know, two people to drive a car at the same time.
If car manufacturers could somehow mystically exert DRM on their products, they would try.
Yeah. No, I'm confident of that too, but it's so I've used it up. I'm not interested anymore in using this product, so I should definitely have the right to sell it, which is my primary argument against one of my primary arguments against digital distribution, and why I refuse to buy like Portal Still Alive, which I kind of feel bad about. Anyway, we got another segment here. We'll take another caller. We'll talk about more stuff. Be right back.
All right, we're back. We got another caller we should take, right?
We do, but before we do that...
Before,
I am going to mention that if...
And that there's
that?
There's
the... Norm, is that you? Norm is doing that on purpose. Uh-huh.
I don't do it on purpose.
Of course not. Oh, he's just hitting buttons by accident.
No, yes, of course.
So, if you want to make, perhaps, a single-player game that will be then sold used and not profit for you at all.
Yeah,
and you could start off that career or that development cycle at UAT.
You could.
The University of Advanced Technology, and you can learn more about them at uat.edu.
And when you go there, you could also learn things like how to make a demo not be two-player only.
Yeah.
Much unlike
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo. No, Street Fighter 2 HD. Come on.
What did I call it? Super Street Fighter?
I don't know. Just,
it has a long title.
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo
HD
Remix.
No, it's not Super Street Fighter. It's not Turbo.
It is.
I think it is Turbo.
It is most definitely Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
It's Street Fighter 2
HD.
No, it's not.
It has eight words in the title, at least.
Did you play it?
It's not
World Warriors, man. It's Super Turbo.
All right, maybe it's Super Turbo. I don't remember.
Absolutely, 100%.
It's not Super.
It doesn't matter what version it is.
No, because Super was a totally different game, dude.
No, Super's when they introduced DJ, Fei Long, Cammy.
Are they all in that?
Yeah. It also has the Super Power
Bar. Was in Street Fighter 2 without the Super.
Yeah,
I know that. You are incorrect, sir.
I played the arcade.
Maybe it is.
100% absolutely sure.
There's
if
no
you
way
want to take a bet,
super.
I will take your money.
I'm not going to take a bet.
Okay, wait. What are you arguing about? Because I couldn't play the game because it was two-player only demo.
He said that Cammy was in Street Fighter 2 before the four extra characters were added.
No, that is an incorrect one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The new challengers.
Then the arcade I played didn't have the Super label on it.
Some kid must have torn it off.
That's fine. So, you, youngster, I will teach you. There was the World Warriors, which was eight characters plus the four bosses. And
okay.
There was Champion Edition, which added the accessibility of the four bosses and let you play one character versus the same character. Ryu versus Ryu, right?
Yeah.
And then there was Turbo, the Street Fighter 2, which was called Hyper Fighting in the arcades, right? Turbo on the Super Nintendo.
The Turbo was made by like one of the QA guys that worked at Capcom USA.
Whatever.
And they
Turbo
frowned upon
just
it.
Made it faster and added some moves to all the
That's
characters.
What I'm saying.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Super, which it was basically Hyper Fighting, but with four extra characters.
Yep.
Super
Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which added the Super Power Meter thing where you could do like the extra powerful move at the end.
Okay.
So. It also added Akuma,
okay.
Otherwise known as Gookie, right? Who is a secret character.
I think this topic's
now that
over.
We're nerding out, it's Gookie.
Like, why?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Akuma might have been added to Super and just existed in Super Turbo. I'm not sure when he was added.
I'm sure that the Street Fighter fanboys are just waiting to remember the phone number so they can call.
Listen, I just want to be clear. Because there are five main versions, at least in America.
That was absolutely correct.
Yeah. And yeah, Cammy was one of the four new challengers, right?
That's yes,
DJ Fei
yes.
Long, Cammy, yeah. And then T-Hawk.
Yeah, right? T-Hawk. Good old T-Hawk.
He's a useless character.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
T-Hawk. Anyway, so that brought it up to 16
okay.
characters.
Because Cammy's the one with the,
it's a hell of a
the green thing. And
Cammy's
the hat.
The hottie.
Yeah, and the camouflage.
Yeah, but the tiny little cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, like Chun-Li.
Very disappointed.
Chun-Li was stacked. Anyway, so we've got...
her boobs are bigger in the HD version.
They better be.
Are they?
Yeah, they made her boobs bigger. I don't know.
I hear they're making her legs gigantic for Street Fighter 4.
High definition sprites.
Well, that's kind of hard to do.
That and whatever his name has a gigantic bulge.
I just want to see Penn's face
Ryu.
Right now, like the reaction he's having. I'm like, what are these guys talking about? I want to come on the air.
He's a fan of fighting games. He'll appreciate it. He's actually on the air right now. Penn, you're on with us.
Unfortunately, you guys made me wait so long that my phone is now dying.
Talk quick.
Well, someone's going to have to get a real phone then.
Oh. real quick, I just wanted to say that I like the idea of used games because it forces developers to put value in their products. Like, a lot of these games come out, and I get frustrated with them because they don't have decent enough replay. And unlike reviewers, I don't play a game for 20 hours and then leave it. I actually try to put in as much time as possible.
20 hours? That's stretching it a bit, don't you think?
Like, I just put in almost 90 hours in Midnight Club LA.
Oh, I wish I could go back to college.
He's a 90-hour man, not
no,
the 20-hour man.
No, actually, I buy very few games but put a lot of time into them versus most of these reviewers who play a game for, like, a maximum of 20 to 30 hours.
Yeah, you're what publishers call a deadbeat.
Let me tell you why. No, it's because the reviewers... By virtue of the fact that they are a reviewer, have a job, and that's when girls become interested, and then they start hanging out with girls. It's this vicious cycle, man.
Or,
girls are dream killers.
Or they have 300
I have a
games
job
to play
as well.
In
it's
one
just
hour.
That I just this I choose.
But no
to
girlfriend,
buy.
Man.
Huh?
No girlfriend. That's ruins
well,
it.
me and Art are going to hang out when he comes to the D.C. So.
Are you considering Art's going to be your girlfriend?
He's going to give me some tips.
All right. That's cool. I'll leave that alone. You guys can strike it.
Nobody put their hopes up about that one.
Really?
Capcom sucks.
I thought you would have been a fan of our Street Fighter discussion.
Hell no. Those guys, that crappy-ass demo, if you bought that game, I hope an assassin takes you out.
I didn't buy the game, but I am looking forward to Street Fighter 4.
I was going to know
If you buy that game, I will continuously message you verbal diarrhea.
All right.
Don't buy that game.
I actually kind of want to play it.
And if you do, don't tell Penn.
I'll see it on your friends list.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Penn.
All right, great
job. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you. So, Penn thinks that it actually increases the quality of games,
yes.
While people in Gamasutra argue that it hurts the quality of games.
No, he gave me an idea. This has been mulling about in my head for the past 15 minutes.
Okay.
Now, when you guys said that, the kind of used games that are out there influences the kind of games developers want to make.
Not developers, publishers.
Publishers, fine.
Publishers and developers
fine.
Very, very different.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So, I think back to my habits of selling and buying. And now, I'm a weird guy. I admit this right away. But even I do things that are normal once in a while. And I noticed that, what are the games that I keep? I keep the games that I think are my best games, right? The highest quality games I deliberately keep. A long time ago, I actually divided my collection. I hate to call it that, but I guess that's what it is. My collection into two piles. One of games I will never sell because I think they're awesome, and games that I want to sell because I could do without them, right?
Yeah.
So now, I'm probably not the only one who has thought to do this, right? And I don't think it's even crazy to say that maybe many, many other people have thought of this as well, right? And so the games that get into the used market tend to be, I think, not as good.
Well,
No.
Unfortunately, not. And actually, this is probably fortunate, to be honest. First of all, people have varied opinions. So, I'm a big fan of one game.
Well,
and you're
of course. I mean, right. I'm not expecting anyone to have the same taste that I do.
And on top of that, other people have different needs. They don't have.
But in the aggregate,
income. Sure.
And some people, yes, I have no money. I spent all my money on games. Now I have to sell some games to get money back.
I regret that I traded in every Super Nintendo game I owned at one point so that I could get a Sega Saturn or something. Because I could send Penn my copy of Killer Instinct that I sold to Funko Land years ago.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying this is the only thing that contributes to the dynamics of this, but what I am saying is that this can't be a negligible effect.
I bet it is. Because
not negligible.
I think
the vast majority
of people aren't in that category.
The bottom line is that whatever game you're keeping still ends up used.
I could go to GameStop.
There are other forces at work.
I could get any game used 2 weeks after it comes out.
Okay, you guys aren't following what I'm saying.
Obviously not.
I'm not saying that, if Gran Turismo 4 is a great game, then no copies of Gran Turismo 4 will enter the market, the used game market. I'm not saying that at all.
But I think there's a higher amount of people that fall into the category of the repeated, I'll sell these older games and buy the new game, than there are, this game's awesome, I'm never going to sell it, but I'll sell these other games.
I think that you're just grasping at straws and making stuff up.
I don't know. What it comes down to is GameStop highly encourages people to trade games in and sell used games, whatever.
Encourage people to do is sell your games yourself. It's a private market. Why do you have to involve GameStop?
And you could do it on that PlaySwitch place.
You can do it there.
That's one thing the publishers don't like, though. It's not that, used game sales happen and they know that's going to happen, but it's that GameStop pushes it so hard. That's their entire market.
Right. But why have GameStop profit off you? Why can't we just use, five more calories in our day and, let's just continue the private market?
Obviously.
Better. That's why eBay exists, and that's why these people are setting up sites like that.
That's right. That's fantastic, and I love that.
But now I'm curious, should I actually feel bad about pirating a game versus buying a used game? Is there value valid
difference. The only person who's gaining profit is GameStop or whoever else.
Well, if I buy a used game, then that means that someone had to trade in that used game to potentially buy a new game with that credit, which does give money back to the publishers and to the hardware developer and to the software developer, right? Huh. But so because ultimately, right, let's say I take the only used copy that's there, then the next person comes in and buys the new version instead of the used one,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Clearly, whether I'm buying an actual used game, it affects the market and ends up with money towards
that makes sense.
These other guys. But that's not how the publishers see it. They think it's just as bad. They say we're not getting any money from it. So maybe I should just go ahead and pirate anyway.
It's just as bad as pirating.
You should just pirate it.
You wouldn't steal a car.
GameStop doesn't think
no,
so.
You should just pirate the game.
But I would very well use a little device I had to copy that car and then drive the copy around.
Yeah, that's...
A replicator.
No, but what you got to do is pirate the game and then just call their support line if they have one, like EA, and just keep them on the phones for an hour.
We didn't mention that part of the article. It's
just
like
just
in Italy,
so
they sold 100 copies
a little
of some
bit
game,
more money.
But 10,000 support calls.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands. I didn't do the math, but I don't know how many people live in Italy. I bet tens of thousands is a significant. I bet it's a significant percentage of Italians. And I don't think they were all playing that game pirated. Anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week and even the week after. Is that
we
true?
We are here next week?
No, we're here next week, but not the week after.
Okay.
Then we'll be back on the 30th. All right. It's on the website, man. I don't have to remember this stuff because it's there. Thanks for listening, everyone. Check out ChatterboxGameShow.com for more info. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.